Shalom everyone, Parashat Mishpatim is upon us. We are going down from the mountains. We finished the Ten Commandments and now we're starting to have to receive all the different laws, all the different rituals with a long list. This is the long list that will start with an Hebrew slave and will finish with how to behave to your neighbors, to your friends. How do you make business? How do you bring return things that are not yours? Endless list of different details and different mundane issues of our day-to-day life. And this is one of the biggest lessons we need to learn. I'll start with a story that way maybe try to emphasize what we're talking about. It's a story of a person, of a husband, who tells his wife how much he loves her. And he expresses how he loves her, and yet he loves her, but she doesn't see it. So she comes and complains. She says, "You say you love me, but why you never give me a gift? You say you love me, but why are the dishes are always there in the sink and it's full? You say you love me, but when I need help and I ask you for something with the kids, it always comes with a lot of pushovers or pushbacks until you're able to help us." And he says to her, "I'm going to prove you wrong. I'm going to prove you how I really love you, and I'm going to do something about it." So he goes into his room and he meditates how much he loves his wife. When you look at this story and you will think about it, you understand that there's something very not natural in it. If you love somebody, if you say you love somebody, it needs to go with action. It needs to go with a saying. It needs to go with way to present how much you love it. And this weekly portion tells you exactly this. How come our connection to God, our love to God, brings into the roots of the way we behave? Sometimes, in some cultures, there is a way to say you love God, and yet the way you behave is so abnormal, is so vicious, it's so cruel. We believe that there's a connection here between loving Hashem, connecting to Hashem, fearing Hashem even, and the way you're actually going to pursue your life. You are supposed to be a better person when you love God, but how can you be that better person? This is this week portion. After big stories that present as individual in the book of Genesis, and after the big events of the Exodus, we are leaving the mountains, the Ten Commandments, and we're starting with Ve'ele HaMishpatim, and these are the rules. Let's not get confused. Some people look at the Ten Commandments, the ten big objects, and think this is the whole deal. If you're practicing the Ten Commandments, the basic, no, not murdering, not killing, not being a thief, it's good enough. No. And these are the rules. We need to make a plan. We need to show how we bring big values into our life and making them in a way that they will count. Do something with those big values and those big ideas. It comes from the different direction as well. Sometimes we are following the small rules all the time that we forget to look at the bigger picture. It's like the person who sees a small flower, but when you look above everything, you're on a cliff with the most amazing view. There is a balance between how much we need to be connected to the big stories and the big understandings, the big concepts, but also to connect them with life and the way they look. It's not easy. It's not easy because we are better off staying on the mountains with the big ideas. We need to bring them into your life when we need to actually act differently. It's always a challenge. And this is the wisdom of how the Torah decides to give us the connection between the big ideas and understanding and the rules and regulations. And the first thing they decide to give is about the Hebrew slave. An Hebrew slave is a very unfortunate situation when somebody tried to make a living, worked his land, did everything he's possible to make business and to make a life for himself, but he cannot find a way out of it. He cannot make a living. So he's doing something which is really difficult. He's selling his body, his work to someone else. And this is the decision to start with a Hebrew slave says a lot about the whole understanding of how we can connect the big ideas into the mundane ideas. Number one, if you're a slave and you're selling your time to somebody else, do not forget you will sell the ability to make those big ideas into small way of life into fruition. It just doesn't work. If you need to follow someone's schedule, where are you going to have time to consider big ideas or even the way you're going to work in your life? And the second is, the fact that you are becoming a slave, you are basically going back into what we just passed in the Exodus. Our nation knows what it means to be a slave. We've been slaves in Egypt, all of us, and this is something that sits here in the back of our mind. Number one, by the fact that we don't want to be slaves again. And if something goes that it's going to happen, it's really a bad situation. Actually, the law talks about delivering and living and sending them away, those slaves. It's something that's going to happen anyway after 50 years in the Jubilee. But having the sense of how bad it's to be a slave always connects to the fact that we need to move them and give them an opportunity outside of our home. It's been very comfortable to have a slave, but it's something that we cannot really take as a way of living. It needs to be somewhere different. And when we're going into the details of the laws of the Hebrew servant, we hear a fascinating detail, which means that if the slave doesn't want to leave after a certain amount of years, you need to pierce his ears. Pierce his ears to connect between you. But why to pierce his ear? And this is where the secret lies. A ear that heard God talking to you on the mountain of Sinai, how could you put yourself in a situation to be a slave? Don't you understand that the real sense of everything, the big ideas and the way you live, is freedom? People think freedom is just to have to do nothing and lie on the beach and drink Coke. It is not freedom. Freedom means you have the ability to do what you really, really want. We know that inside of us we are filled with ideas. We know that we had dreams. We had aspirations. The problem is life itself. Life pushes you into different situations. You have limitations. You have challenges. You have just things that you cannot do. Those different elements and what you are being sent to and what you desire, these are the things that really take you from being the real free person you want to be. The rituals of the day-to-day life and the big ideas that were received on Sinai all come back to the word freedom. Freedom to be who you are. Freedom to do what you believe in. Freedom to move all the obstacles that change our life and change our spirit and influence us to do things that we really don't want. How many times you do something, you say, I don't want to do it. But I'm being pushed from inside, sometimes from the outside. Move those things away. Free yourself. Stop being a slave for things that are temporary, things that are mundane. And connect yourself into the inspiring words of God. The big ideas and the small day-to-day actions that will influence you and are going to make you this better person. The work of Parashat Mishpatim brings you one idea, one concept, freedom. If you're a free person, if you're a free man and woman, you're able to do what you want. And you want to know what you want? Listen to the voices of Sinai and bring those ideas into your life. Bring the big ideas and make your life and the life of the people around you better by acting by the laws of Hashem. Shabbat Shalom.